Welcome this Thursday, June the 20th, 2013, to the Biblical Worldview Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joseph Oster. If you've got questions or comments, if you need to be saved, you can email us at biblicalworldview@rocketmail.com. You can visit us on the web, www.bibleworldview.blogspot.com. You can direct message me on Twitter, at Joseph Oster, J-O-S-E-P-H-O-S-T-E-R, and include the at symbol in front of it, and that message will come directly to me. You can catch the podcast on iTunes, audioboo.fm, Spreaker.com, and you can get it on my personal Facebook page. Hope you're enjoying the show.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The Council on Foreign Relations, known as the CFR, an organization publicly sworn to destroy American national sovereignty and usher in a tyrannical world police state, could not contain their glee on September 12th, the day after the tragic attack. They announced their new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to win over hearts and minds, and what that means is we've got to invest in countries that have no educational infrastructure and have no means for young people to get ahead. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
Boy, doesn't that sound good. This is the Biblical Worldview Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening today. The first clip that you just heard was obviously George Herbert Walker Bush. This is Bush Sr. talking about a new world order. And then, of course, Barack Obama and our current president. And he is talking about a new world order as well. It sounds so good. And that's the reason it's so deceptive. But what is this new world order? That's the topic of conversation today, this globalization of the world, new world order. And it's a conspiracy theory, but I want to tell you it's more than just a conspiracy theory. It's going to happen. The Bible says it will happen. And basically, it's about bringing this major change in the world and in world power. It's a group and a group of people, elitist from different governments, and they're bent on ruling the world through this single worldwide system of government. That's right. That means the America that we know now no longer exists. I know. You probably think that's Chicken Little in the sky. Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and you know, that really can't happen. But I want to tell you, I'm going to share some scripture with you today, and it is the truth. It will be a one world system of government. We're going to talk about who's going to rule that world and rule this world. And so you'll want to pay attention to these things. According to Obama, there's an appeal to this new world order. I mean, this appeal to free the world of wars and political strife, peace, eradicate poverty and disease and hunger. And you know, its purpose is to meet the needs and hopes of all mankind through worldwide peace. Kind of sounds like a Miss USA pageant. What do you hope to accomplish as Miss USA, you know, Miss Mississippi. Well, I hope to provide world peace. I mean, folks, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. In one sense, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. But in another sense, there will be a one world government. There will be a one world. This globalization, it's known as globalization, or it's also known as the New World Order. And basically, it is a way for the individual nations of this world to kind of lose their borders. You know, no lines drawn, there are no borders, and we're all this big one world. It's a one world political system, one world body. And to achieve this, you have to change a bunch of things. You have to change values, cultures, ideologies. And it's this sense of unity and oneness with all people speaking the same language. There has to be a single government. There has to be a one world currency. There's got to be oneness again in politics, in religion, in moral values. And so we need to understand that this is what's coming. When you hear Obama talking about New World Order, when you hear him talking about the United Nations, when you hear our government talking about the G20 summit and for finance and, you know, the world economy and world finance, folks, these are key words for you to pay attention to and understand as a believer. We need to realize the scriptures are clear concerning all of these things. And we're commanded to obey and respect those in authority in our government. But we can see that there are some severe consequences of this new world order, both from an economic standpoint and a religious standpoint. The problem with the acceptance and approval of any new world order is that no government has ever offered, nor is it ever going to offer, real hope and peace for mankind. Listen, we can't turn to government for worldwide peace and hope. If we do that, folks, if you're depending upon the government for peace, if you're depending upon the government for hope, you're disillusioned. And I'm going to tell you something, go even a step further. You're enslaved. You've become a slave to them because all they can give is false promises. History has proven time and time again that no quasi-world empire has ever survived. Look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Roman Empire. And listen, why do these not survive? Listen, America could not be could not rule the world. Why? Because we have these innate laws of human beings. It's called the sin nature. And when you get people in these positions, you know what? They seek greed. There's corruption. They have this unquenchable thirst for power. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now in our own country. And we're in for a rude awakening, those who are, whether they're secular or religious, who are trying to usher in this new world order. I know many believers that are embracing this. And hey, Jesus would accept everybody. Yes, he will accept everybody for salvation. But there's a reason why he diversified the cultures. You say, where do you get that? We get that from 2 Kings. I believe it's chapter 17. I don't have the reference in front of me right now, but I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 17. What does that scripture have to say about a new world order? Does it specifically speak about a new world order? Well, it doesn't say the term new world order, but it is a well-known example of historical globalization. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember that story? Well, rather than filling the earth as God had commanded, mankind rebelled and decided to centralize in one city and not be scattered over the earth like Genesis chapter 11 told them to do. And so what did they try to do? Remember, they tried to build a tower to God, to reach God. Now, I don't think they wanted to just build a tower to reach God. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be God. What did God do? God said, no, sorry, guys, we're not having this. And so what he did is he confused their languages so they couldn't communicate anymore. And that's where we have the diversity of cultures and the different sects. Not, I know that sect, S-E-C-T, okay? Different sects of people. I can't say that without it sounding like something else. I'm so sorry. But we have different cultures of people. I'll say cultures. How about that? Different cultures of people and different languages. And it basically forced them to gather those languages that were themselves and those people be together. And that's where we get the different nations. But I want to tell you something. The final empire will be a true global government. And it's going to be ruled by this person, this man known as the Antichrist. He's also in the book of the Revelation called the Beast. He's called the Lawless One. And listen, he will have authority over every tribe, people, language, nation. And he, along with the false prophet, will force all people to take his mark. And we'll get into that here in a few more minutes about that. And so, listen, the Bible shows that any time attempts to globalize, it's ruled by wicked, ungodly empires. And we should oppose this globalization and this new world order to the extent that we understand it is implemented by Satan himself, who the Word of God in 2 Corinthians said is the God of this age. And so it's interesting to note here that man and Satan's final attempt at this new world order or globalizing will include a resurgence of Babylon, which started the globalization, effort so long ago. That's Revelation chapter 18, if you want to look that up. Listen, the whole world, not just America, but the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Galatians chapter 3. We are to hate evil. Christians are to hate evil. Yes, we are to hate. We're to hate evil. It's called righteous indignation. Christ had it when he drove the money changers out of the temple. Folks, I don't know about you, but the current state of our nation, the current state of things that are going, it infuriates me. When I read that the IRS targeted political groups, conservative political, it infuriates me. Not because I'm a Republican, but because I'm a Christian. Because it's evil, it's wrong. When I hear that people may be listening to my phone conversations or reading my emails, it infuriates me. Not because I'm a Republican, because I'm wrong. And folks, again, I'm going to share with you, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I hold allegiance only to him. And so I'm going to vote biblical values and moral values, what the Bible says. And if a Democrat lines up with that, then I'll vote for the Democrat. If a Republican lines up for that, I'll vote for the Republican. I'll vote for an independent. I'm going to do what the Word of God has to say. And so that's what we need to do. One of the biggest things in this whole New World Order idea, we have to go back. We have to go back to politicians and world leaders. You can go back to Woodrow Wilson after World War I. You remember Mikhail Gorbachev, Russia after the Cold War. Again, George Bush Sr. after the Gulf War introduced these terms known as the New World Order to define this need for global oneness in this cooperation and vision. And I guess to me, it's kind of foolish to even think about it from that standpoint. Look, the Lord confounded our languages. The Lord separated us. If the Lord wants us back together, let me tell you, the Lord does want us back together, but he wants us back together as Christians. The only way we're coming back together is if you're born again, you're going to spend eternity with each other, with millions of people in eternity with him forever. That's how we'll be united again. God's desire is not for a one world government and one world order. Otherwise, he left them alone at the Tower of Babel. And so But I want to tell you that even Henry Kissinger himself said, and I believe it was back in 1994, that this new world order cannot happen without U.S. participation. As we are the most significant single component, yes, there will be a new world order, and it will force the U.S. to change its perceptions. Can I get a witness? They're already being changed. The Bible tells us about a time when political and religious leaders would come to the world stage for this single purpose of launching this new era of hope and change for humanity. Where have we heard that? Hope and change? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Anybody remember that? Yes, we can. Yeah, that's right. Barack Obama and his politicking and running for the presidency. Hope and change. That's what he won on. And so we need to understand they're here now. They're working to transform the world systems into one, and within these global charters and agreements and that are being drawn up today. There's no mention of Yahweh, the God of Israel. In fact, there's this unanimous resolve in this movement to cast aside intolerant Christianity, and we need to be aware of this. In order to promote this global society, there is going to be a God in the new era of humanity, but it's going to be the generic God of the final apostasy. It's going to be the God is the God of this world, and that's Satan. One of the most disheartening things for me today as a Christian is this idea in Christendom today, and this idea that God has revealed himself in many different ways to diverse cultures, and therefore all the religions worship the same God. They just use different names. Folks, this is aggravating. I mean, because listen, what this says is that Allah of Islam and the Yahweh of Judaism and the Krishna of Hinduism, that they're all the same. And it gives this idea, this conclusion that it's an apostate idea that there are many different paths to God and Jesus is only one of them. And folks, my Bible clearly says that, listen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. That's God, Yahweh. No one comes to God except through Jesus Christ. And folks, I hope you realize as a Christian that not only do you have to have a one world government, a one world currency, one world economy, one world political system, you have to have a one world religion. We've shared from the biblical worldview before that personally, I believe that religion will be Islam and that the law of the land will be Sharia law. That's Islamic law. That's taken from the Quran. And so in order to have this new world order, the rulers have to fabricate this generic God to capitalize on the different paths to spiritual enlightenment. And folks, we're seeing this in our country going toward that way with the onslaught more and more each day of coming against Christianity. I want to tell you, listen, only God and the gospel of Jesus Christ are capable of bringing lasting peace and goodwill among men. The Bible is clear that all things associated with this life, they're passing away. False religions, apostate churches, many corrupt governments responsible for worldwide or widespread global suffering, the turmoil, the discontent, the hate, the death. Folks, it's all coming to an end. And I want to tell you, hope and change are necessary in order to live in a peace and harmony, but it's got to be the hope and the change that comes from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust," according to Psalm chapter 91. Our hope and change can never be based on the promises given by governments and religions that's going to come between God and humanity. And I want to tell you that these rulers, these elitists that are heading us toward this one world, folks, they're only puppets. And Satan is the puppet master. and he's tugging strategically on the heartstrings of government and religious leaders worldwide, and he's using these puppets to rehearse the opening act. I want to tell you, the Bible tells us not to despair. Our future does not include this world. Amen. We're not of this world, the Bible says. We're strangers. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're aliens. I mean, we're just sojourners, sojourning through this land. This is not our home. And we need to realize that as Christians, we need to be concerned about things. We need to be concerned about this one world religion, one world government, one world monetary system. And we need to be outspoken about it. I talked to my brother today. I love my brother. I'm talking about my flesh and blood brother, my earthly brother, Matt. And hadn't talked to him in a while. And of course, if he listens to the show today, brother, I don't mean anything by this. I think he knows my heart well enough to know what I mean by this. But I was kind of disheartened, and it's not by him. I've been disheartened by this idea. Most Christians today have this idea that, I heard it from my brother, but I hear it from Christian after Christian after Christian. And that's this idea that, well, I can't change anything. I'm only one person. Well, the Bible says that this is going to happen, so why do we need to stop? I mean, what can we do to stop it? Well, folks, I realize we can't do anything to stop it. Look, if the Bible says that we're going to have a one-world government, then we're going to have a one-world government. But folks, that doesn't mean in the meantime that I stop speaking out and fighting against the things that God hates. God hates evil. God hates sin. I believe that God hates corrupt governments because that is sin. Well, I'm only one voice. I really don't. Well, let me tell you something about that one voice. You're right. We are only one voice and we can't. But one voice plus one voice makes two. Plus another one. Plus another one. And you do that and repeat that and repeat that. After a while, you got a whole bunch of people. Can I tell you something? If all of the professing Christians in our country today stood against evil in our government, things would change. Things would change. And listen, I use this logic because we know that the world will eventually go to a one-world system. Maybe we're prolonging things so more people can be born again. Folks, that's what this is all about, telling the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting it out in order that we can have the more people saved and born again and come to the knowledge of the truth. What are some of the signs of the end times? What are some signs that indicate the end times are coming? Well, Matthew chapter 24, verses 5-8 says, "Many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ. They'll deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is still not come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places." Folks, there's going to be an increase in false messiahs, an increase in warfare, an increase in famines and plagues, natural disasters. These are signs of the end times. And in this passage, we're given a warning not to be deceived because these events are only the beginning of birth pains. The end is still to come. Another possible sign of end times would be it would include the rebuilding of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Increased hostility towards Israel. Folks, we have that today. Advances toward this one world government. But I want to tell you, one of the most prominent signs of the end of times, however, is the nation of Israel. In 1948, Israel was recognized as a sovereign state, essentially for the first time since AD 70, and God promised Abraham that his posterity would have Canaan as an everlasting possession. Ezekiel prophesied a physical and spiritual resuscitation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 37. And so having Israel as a nation in its own land is important in light of end times prophecy because of Israel's prominence in eschatology. Look, these are signs, and we need to keep them in mind. We can be wise and discerning in regard to the expectation of the end times. And we should. Folks, we should stand. We should speak out. We should be about our Father's business. What do we need to be doing and be looking for? What do we need to do? Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, the end is coming, and I do believe we are at end times. I do believe we are. Not only should we be concerned about it, again, we need to stand. Your voice needs to be heard. Folks, we have a mandate from Scripture to hate that which is evil, to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. The Bible says, look, having stood, and I'm paraphrasing, look, stand you therefore, having stood. And when you've stood and stood and stood, and you know what else you should do? He says, keep on standing. Folks, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I'm tired of Christians who bury their heads in the sand like ostriches and say there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to happen. We just need to let it go. We just need to let it happen. Let it run its course. Folks, Jesus was never satisfied with evil. He was never satisfied to sit back and just let things take their course. Folks, there is good news. There's good news. This one world government and one world thing, I want to share with you that this, I personally believe this doesn't include the people that are Christians, that the rapture of the church will take place before that. What is the rapture? We have to sum up quickly. The rapture is not in the word. That word's not in the Bible, but the term catching away is, where Jesus Christ will return and he will gather all of the people who are Christians born again to himself to spend eternity with him. Those that are not gathered will be left behind. And there will be the tribulation period, a time where God pours out his judgment and his wrath upon people. I do believe people will be saved during that time, but it will cost them. The Bible says they will have to take a mark of the beast, the Antichrist, of Satan himself, either on their wrist or on their forehead, and they'll have to do that to either buy or sell. In other words, it's either starve or take this mark. And the Bible says that those who take that mark are doomed forever. Folks, in other words, it's going to cost something if you're left behind to serve Christ. Folks, listen, it doesn't cost us a whole lot in America right now to serve Christ. And can I tell you, if you won't serve him when it costs you nothing, you won't serve him when it costs you everything. Jesus is going to come. We're going to spend eternity. Can I ask you a question? Have you been born again and been saved? I'm sure a lot of those that listen all have been born again. What about those in your family? Have they been born again? Have they been saved? What about the people you meet? Folks, it's time to get out. You need to be standing. You need to join together with the biblical worldview. You need to stand. Contact your congressmen. Contact your senators. Voice your opinion. Stand up. Stand on what the Word of God has to say. Be sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. And one day we'll stand before the Lord and hope to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God bless you today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope it's been informational. Listen, folks, get information. Knowledge is power. Be informed. Don't take my word for it. You study it yourself. Bible says, study to show thyself approved. God bless you today. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until next time, you go serve your King.